Hello, this is David Reese of the internet cartoon Get Your War On. I want to have a frustrating interview experience using tomorrow's technology, a technology which has not yet achieved the most rudimentary successes of yesterday's technology. I choose to do so in the context of the MEP report.
Left my home back in Omaha. See if I can make it out in the world. And I got as far as Wichita. Suddenly I wasn't sure anymore. Lost all my friends in Los Angeles. And I'm not welcome in New York. But I must stop back in Omaha, where the fans, they always crying out for more.
Why not?
All right. In that case, welcome to MEP Report number 67, January 31st, 2007. Welcome. What's going on, everyone out there?
Is that how you're saying the years now? Is that how it's going to be?
2007.
2007.
When we get to that point, it's going to be 2296. 2296. Welcome.
Yeah. You enjoy what life is like at
2296.
The age of 700 and some.
That's going to be sweet, man.
You have a good time of that. I will have died, and I will be much happier for it. Do you know that, and correct me if I'm wrong, please feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but speaking of the years, is there a name for this decade that caught on yet? Is there anything? Will our children ever be able to make fun of us?
I'm ready for the O's.
Being in this decade, the O's have it.
A century ago, they called them
the Baltimore
Aughts,
Orioles.
But nobody says Aughts.
Yeah, and that never caught on.
That'd be great.
Does that.
The election of 2006. That'd be great.
Yeah, but there's no collective thing for the decade. Nobody's got anything, you know? And
that's a good point.
We'll never be able to refer to this time again.
I think
talk
part of it is that
because you will not be able to in the future.
Well, it started with 2K.
Nothing.
When you got Y2K, yeah. There was nowhere to go. Like I think that sort of broke the whole decade, the whole century, because there was just like 2K. That I've heard that 2K7, 2K6.
ESPN produced NBA
That's
basketball
it.
Game.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly.
2K5. 2K6. 2K7.
Yes. Exactly.
Can you guys believe we're 7 years into this decade? Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah.
Absurd.
Yeah.
Actually,
I just got an email
eight,
for my 10th high school anniversary reunion thingy, and I was like, really? 10 years?
Yep.
Seems like 30.
That's right.
Older than that.
So welcome, everybody, and we've got some big news on the MEP report. First of all, we want to say that you're going to later on be hearing someone who's very, very pleased with the MEP. He's a big fan. He's listened to a lot of our shows, and you'll be hearing a lot from him. David
he
Reese
actually contacted me
from Get Your War On.
Go ahead.
is going to be interviewed, and yes, as Russ said, he's a huge fan. He contacted us because he wanted us to interview him. And we said yes, and Russ, I guess he was very persistent, right? Like
to
he said
fair,
no at first, and then he said okay.
And then,
yeah,
we said.
I mean,
all right.
He really was like every day, and it would show up in my spam box for some reason. But then I would check, and it was from David Reese again, and he claimed that over the past year, a lot of the strips that he had written were actually based on themes that we talked about on the show, and
oh,
so
nice,
I thought
yeah.
it would only be fair as a way for him to pay us back if we would, you know, acknowledge that, you know, we were part of the thought process that went behind his very, you know, world-popular comic strip, and that, you know, that we should have him on the show. And so we
humored him,
and he
had a great time. Like, you'll be able to tell, he really liked TeamSpeak. And he really appreciated what we, you know, how we ran our interview. He really got a lot out of it, I think. And hopefully you will too.
It was great.
Out of this thing.
Yes, indeed.
So,
but first, the show, the regular
first,
show.
The show,
so that'll
and
be at the normal spot.
That'll be at the normal
even
spot.
Even though we recorded it beforehand.
Yes, so
no
it's pre-recorded
reason.
For no reason. Yes. But here is the big news of the day.
He didn't punch us in the face.
And I know that Story and Russ both wanted to.
That's possible.
Right. That's right.
That's possibly so we didn't get punched
right.
in the face by David
that's right.
Reese.
It was.
Thank
it was.
You. TeamSpeak is a very powerful thing.
Get your upset at technology.
Right.
Get
I'm
you.
A,
I use a Mac
genius.
And don't know about microphones. War on comic strip. But anyway. But first, we have a major story to talk about in the world, and it's very important.
It's
Boston
true.
Was breaking almost blown up.
And it really is.
Russ and Story can talk
very,
about this.
Very important.
Boston, guys, was almost blown up today. Boston was almost blown up. And maybe you can explain what happened.
By the Moonanites. The Moonanites are coming. They're invading. So Aqua Teen Hunger Force, which is a show that both Russ and I are pretty big fans of, although
and
lately we have both noticed it's starting to be lousy. We're starting to join Greg's camp because it's been bad lately. The new episodes, they're too all up in their fame. And they took out some advertising, which is an extremely subversive and dangerous thing.
It is.
The police force
in America,
in Boston
especially.
Is no longer going to say advertising is okay. No more advertising, so get your money out of it now because it's about to be banned. Because when you do advertising that has lights, then people think it's a bomb. And the entire city of Boston, while these advertisements have been up for apparently 2 weeks in 10 major cities, including Boston, the entire city of Boston today spontaneously all got together and decided to think,
well,
oh my God, it's a bomb.
You know what's funny about that?
It's an advertisement.
Is this true? I have a question because my interpretation of the news story was that somehow they'd put all these boards up for a few weeks, but then they only like lit them up with the Moonanite symbol today, and that's why everybody freaked out.
Oh.
Has it literally been that they just walked around and noticed these things and now freaked out?
Frankly, the article I read was poorly written, so I couldn't tell. I mean, I couldn't even tell why.
Well, wait a minute.
And I think that the person who wrote the article, to be fair, also couldn't tell why anyone thought it was a bomb, which is why they never attempted to engage that point. They were just like, authorities are concerned, Boston freaked out, it was shut down, traffic was snarled, there were advertisements. And the missing link was never bridged.
I agree with Russ,
he really
actually.
Didn't get it.
It looks like they did go on today, and it says that Turner notified officials of the publicity campaign around 5 p.m., 4 hours after the first calls came in about the devices. But here's the thing you guys may not have noticed. This is literally breaking news. 3 minutes ago, they arrested a guy. Peter Burdovsky was arrested on a felony charge of placing a hoax device and a charge of disorderly conduct. He was the guy who was hired to place the devices. So he's been arrested for putting up these electronic devices.
You know what
now, here's
means?
The thing.
This is
if you guys,
Greg,
yeah.
You realize I'm going to have to go on a vigil now to get some guy out of prison? I'm going to have to start a protest rally.
I know.
And, like, stand outside this guy's cell.
So here's the thing that cracks me up.
I have to buy tickets to Boston. This is really going to screw up my work week.
I got
to
be clear on this. If you guys when you're listening to this, if you guys go look for a news article, it'll be a couple of days archived. If you guys go to the article and take a look.
It may actually be the biggest story for an entire week. It's possible. I'm beginning to believe that.
Yeah. If you guys go check it out, you'll see a picture of this thing, and it looks exactly like what we were talking about a couple shows ago about Lite-Brite. It's the picture of the guy giving the finger, and it's 4C batteries. And this looks like Lite-Brite, and this is the bomb that's going to blow things up. So apparently the terrorists now have decided not only are we going to blow up bridges, but we're going to have a sense of humor while we do it. And the funniest thing ever would be if they died in an Aqua Teen Hunger Force bomb. That's the theory that we're now using, is they're going to use Lite-Brite figures to blow us up.
My two favorite things about this story, the first is the actual image, which is the Moonanite giving you the finger, which is one of
it's
part of his shtick from the show,
it's
is that he gives people the finger. I think that's great. And, of course, that they thought somehow that the Islamicists, who don't use the finger, they use other gestures, but now they're going to make a sign with the finger, and that's a terrorist attack. That's great. Okay. The second thing that I love about this story, oh, my God, it's the reaction from these public officials who are the most cowardly in the history of the world. And I just think this about our Congress in general, except for people like Bernie Sanders and maybe four other people, max.
Right.
But they're all cowards.
Russ Feingold is good.
And so, of course, their reaction, instead of going, whoops, we made a mistake, we're stupid, is that we're going to have this person fired who did this ad campaign. Then there was a quote. Okay, this is, I want to get the name right. This is Ed Markey, who's a state rep in Massachusetts House legislation. He said, it would be, quote, it would be hard to dream up a more appalling publicity stunt. Let me think.
Not that
How
hard.
About if you actually call in a bomb threat. And then
that's
when
more
you leave
appalling.
The police on the wild
chase
to a warehouse, they go to the warehouse, and in the warehouse is a billboard that says, eat Jack's creamed corn. That is a more appalling
That's
publicity
more appalling.
Stunt. That's just one, and that's off the top of my head.
How about
idiot.
A publicity stunt for gun manufacturers where you lure police in and then shoot one of them and you say, yes, but this gun did it a really good job, didn't they? That's very appalling. That's a really
How
good publicity
about
stunt.
A publicity stunt that doesn't involve approved posted advertising in normal ad space with lights, but somehow goes beyond.
You guys are missing the gravity of this
norm.
Situation. You're missing the gravity of it.
How about,
I mean,
giant statue of George W. Bush made of feces set on fire underneath the Cartoon Network billboard.
But just listen to what this says.
More appalling publicity.
Here is what our genius department spokesman.
For a random example.
Russ Knock, okay? Not Russ Guberman, our Russ. But Russ Knock, the Homeland Security Department spokesman, says the following, okay?
Ugh.
Quote, hoaxes are a tremendous
burden.
Share
a name with this man.
Yeah. Hoaxes are a tremendous burden on local law enforcement and counterterrorism resources, and there's absolutely no place for them in a post-9/11 world. So let me get this straight. Hoaxes are not allowed because you people decided that it's post-9/11, we can't have fun anymore. No hoaxes. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
I say more.
There's
hoaxes.
No place for them in a post-9/11 world.
Day.
I totally agree.
I think that every fan of Aqua Teen Hunger Force should go out of their way to inconvenience their local law enforcement organization just
now,
because of this story.
If you did George W. Bush and Lightbright flipping people off, that would have been even funnier. But, I mean, you know, now is that a host that's, you know, appropriate?
But like, that doesn't promote your show and fit all of the norms of normal advertising that are, again, accepted every day in society. Right.
What
again,
if we kidnapped
we
a child from my neighborhood in Beverly Hills? And then duct taped his mouth and put him in an emu suit. And then when it was revealed where he was, then the police would come and rescue him. And then he would have been brainwashed to only be able to say mep, mep, mep.
That's
mep,
more
mep,
appalling. It's really,
I
really
think
funny.
That would be a more appalling,
more appalling
stunt. I'm going to go ahead and say more appalling. Buy a nose.
It's also funny.
It's close. But that is more appalling.
No, do you
We're
guys...
We're going to go ahead and give it.
Did you know who the marketing firm, the name of the marketing firm that put these things up is called? The marketing firm is called Interference Incorporated.
Okay, now I'm going to have to apply for a job
That's
for
awesome.
Interference Incorporated and go to the vigil and buy tickets to Boston and get myself arrested to protest the arrested of... Oh, God. This is going to be really inconvenient.
Here's what I don't understand.
Week.
They talk about it being
a
hoax. But it's like, what a hoax.
It's not a hoax.
It's not Osama bin Laden, like some guy dressed in a turban with a bomb. It's not a hoax. What hoax?
All
I don't get it.
All advertising is a hoax. Things are never as good as they're advertised on TV. The beautiful women come and talk to you when you have a Bud Light? No, it's a hoax, man. And we don't have room for that
in
the post-9/11 world.
That's true. I hope this precipitates the end of all advertising. That would be great. That would be a fantastic outcome, because that would be a much better world. But short of that...
The citizens of Boston should have a class action lawsuit where they claim that any new and unexpected advertising could adversely affect their lives, could cost the city money, could be a security threat, and therefore cannot be allowed.
No more advertising for Boston.
Again. That's a great idea.
Every city. They should do this. We should do this, too. We should be appalled by this advertising stunt.
Absolutely.
This malevolent scheme by
I just can't believe that
adult quote adult cartoon.
Yeah.
I love how they say adult cartoon as if it's porn, as if it's like cartoon of Fantastic Voyage with like the naked women on Mars.
Yeah, I also love the people who write about it who clearly have never seen it, and so they're trying to summarize it, and they say this is part of a promotion for the TV show Aqua Teen Hunger Force, a surreal series about a talking milkshake, a box of fries, and a meatball, and some guy out in Omaha has just fallen over on his back and like passed out. He's like, oh what? Like a talking milkshake box. I mean, that is what
they're
it's about. But I mean,
to us through our favorite fast food recipes. No,
I'm telling you. First, they take out the World Trade Center. Next, they start doing series about a meatball. What the hell is this country coming to? I mean, come on.
Now, I literally, while broadcasting, I have a poster of Aqua Teen Hunger Force in my apartment behind my head. Does this mean that,
as
like, stormtroopers can knock down my door
they're
and
coming.
Arrest me for being part
it means
of the
two things,
conspiracy?
Russ.
Hide.
Number one.
I would not normally say this,
you have
but
a
get
hoax.
Under the table.
You have a hoax in your
now.
Room. And there's no place for a hoax.
Oh, my God.
In the ninth most 9/11 world. Do you guys realize that both of those statements are ludicrous?
Up. I didn't expect the poster to have a milkshake on it.
I mean, it's not a hoax, and B, what do you mean we're not allowed to have hoaxes? Say what? I mean, like, what are you talking about?
Do you really believe in a right to hoax?
Everyone
I'm
that
sorry.
Reacted in this way
is throwing
should be burned
me a little.
At the stake in a promotion for Omaha Steaks.
You think so, huh?
Yes.
That's a great idea.
I do. I think they should all be burned at the stake and sponsored by Budweiser. Just like George Carlin says that Budweiser should sponsor their own public executions. I think it's time now. Now we've finally reached the point where
we've crossed
my indignation
the threshold.
Has boiled
We're over.
Over
the threshold.
I'm ready
We're
to kill
over
people
the line.
Because of their reaction to this.
It's time. The time
oh,
has come.
Oh, my God. That's right. So, man arrested. So, if
Can
you
I
see these
question?
Hoaxes, you know, we're in trouble.
Mayor Thomas, this is the end of the article. Mayor Thomas Menino CPT moron in charge, said that 9 of the light boards were found around Metropolis in Boston. Now, these weren't, like, hidden in, like, office buildings, right? Like, they were prominently displayed a la billboards. It wasn't like, oh, I found it. It was in this garbage can, and it had bleeping lights and it had a ticking sound. And, like, the billboards!
True.
What
with
do you
a
mean
recognizable
found?
Character.
Spotted in the air.
Yeah.
Prominently displayed.
Yeah.
Millions of people spotted each one. Okay.
It's ridiculous.
I'm done.
Yeah. It's absolutely
true.
Ridiculous.
This is one of the silliest things I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's ludicrous.
It's
and
true.
The fact that so few people are maybe the wave of apologies to ATHF will come later this week and I'll feel better about it. But until that time, I really have to move to some other country, as long as ATHF comes with me.
Well, one place you could move to, Russ, would be Venezuela, because I thought Story would be interested to know that today, his favorite leader in the world, President Hugo Chavez, was granted free rein Wednesday to accelerate changes in broad areas of society by presidential decree. Long live socialism.
Away from my boy Hugo.
National Assembly President Cilia Flores said, "Long live President Hugo Chavez. Fatherland, socialism, or death, we will prevail. Amen to your boy, Hugo Chavez."
I mean, I like socialism and all. I do. But it is getting a little getting a little much over there.
Rodriguez, his vice president said,
making me a little nervous.
His vice president says, "What kind of a dictatorship is this? The law only serves to sow democracy and peace. Dictatorship is what there used to be. We want to impose the dictatorship of a true democracy." Quote unquote. Oh yeah, oh yeah. The dictatorship of a true democracy.
Yeah, yeah. War is peace everywhere. Freedom is slavery.
Oh yeah.
I know.
Amen.
I know. I'm backing away from him. Although I'm lucky that I can even walk these days to back away from anything, because
what happened
today in my beloved Tenderloin neighborhood, boy do I love it there. I had a totally surreal experience. I briefly forgot where I was and just thought everything was fine, and then had a very, very scary moment. So I'm walking between our two buildings. We have two buildings about a block or so away from each other, and I often, you know, being the administrative assistant, the underling, the person at the bottom of the rung, I often have to walk between these two buildings to deliver various things. And, you know, papers, really boring stuff, checks occasionally, which is exciting. And dodge through all of the, you know, various homeless people who are often in a meal line or, you know, out selling drugs, offering me drugs, not believing that I don't have cigarettes to give them that they can bum, and, you know, making threatening gestures, whatever they do.
Right.
In the Tenderloin, calling me a cracker, as we went over a few shows ago. All of these various things. And I suddenly noticed that something has attached itself, much like gum or something like that, but like a whole lot of gum to the bottom of my shoe, because I'm suddenly walking completely off balance. And I'm just totally thrown off balance. I'm like half a foot taller on my right side. And I was like, okay, that's really bizarre. So I stepped down to look at it, and I have this like construction of plastic underneath my shoe, and so I like try to shake it off, and part of it goes off, and then part of it goes deeper into my shoe, and I like pull it out and wrench it out and just sort of throw it away, not really looking at it, kind of annoyed. And then I'm like, huh, there's a hole in my shoe now. That's
Uh-oh.
Really strange.
I see where this is going.
And then I'm walking along, and then I'm like, oh, I feel kind of lightheaded. This is kind of different. I feel kind of weird. I don't know what's going on. What? Oh dear. So I think I may have been injected with something.
Yes, you stepped on a needle.
The streets of the Tenderloin. Yeah, I think that's possibly what happened.
In all seriousness,
and no, I,
Story, you should have
no,
been at a doctor 5 hours
doctor.
Ago. No, this is ludicrous. You have to go to a doctor immediately. Like that. That's not even a funny thing. Like, come on, you got to go to a doctor, dude.
To be fair, I have concluded pretty certainly that I think it was all in my head, that it actually might have penetrated through to my foot. I don't think it got that far. I think it got through part of my shoe, and that's it.
Do you
and
have
I would not be so
foot?
Flib about it.
Yeah, do you have a
no,
cut on your foot?
No, I don't, which is a pretty good indication.
Is there any puncture marks or any kind on your foot?
No, just on my shoe. So that's fun. But it was a fun moment. This was supposed to be funny, and now you guys are all like scared.
That was hilarious.
From the emergency.
Exactly. That was hilarious. Story talked about when he got infected with TB and died? Remember how funny that was when he did that, when he got tetanus? That was great. I love that. That was hilarious. Can we do the Get the War, Get Your War interview? Just to brighten up the room? That would be tremendous. Can we do that, please?
I love how you were saving it,
really
too. You're like, you're totally not going to talk about this until the middle of the show. You're just like, oh, by the way,
this
I contracted
good,
AIDS
this
while walking
really
around town today.
Yeah,
what?
Exactly.
Isn't that ironic?
Oh,
don't you think? A little too ironic.
So I'll keep you posted on how I'm feeling. Maybe you guys should stay on with me over the night
as
the show
dude.
Goes on, because Emily is out of town
gotta
tonight.
Be kidding.
So if I pass away.
This could be the most listened to episode ever. The episode of Get Your War On and Story Against AIDS.
Story's
yeah, really.
Memorial episode. This is how it happened. No, it was supposed to be funny. I guess
it is kind of funny.
It's funny, guys. It's funny.
It's really funny.
I mean, there's a hole in my shoe. There's no hole in my foot. There's a hole in my shoe. It was just one of those moments where it's like you think you have gum and there's a needle in your shoe. Welcome to the Tenderloin.
I did like the beginning.
See? Funny, right?
It was like a box
funny.
Of gum had attached yeah. itself to my shoe.
And then I realized it was a needle.
It was like a whole superstructure. It was crazy because I was like able to walk and sort of step, but it was like this whole thing that was like 6 inches high underneath my foot, and I was like,
"Can I ask why you continued to walk with this superstructure? Did I miss that? You're like, this is fun. I want to pretend that I have heels on.
I was in a hurry.
Here we go. The hell with picking something off my shoe. Maybe it's a needle, but whatever.
Places, you know? Because, I mean, you don't immediately, if you have, like, gum on your shoe or something, you don't, like, immediately go out.
I think
say,
I do when the
know,
gum is,
oh,
as you put it, 6 inches high. I don't think of gum on my shoe as a superstructure.
Yeah.
Normally, that's not how I describe it.
It's true. It was a large, it was unexpected.
If the guy
you know,
wants
but what
to walk
can you
around
do?
In
so.
Syringe high heels, then that's his prerogative. That's fine.
Exactly. And there are people like that in the Tenderloin that I was passing by. Oh, hi, you know, transvestite, how you doing? You
oh,
know,
there you go.
Calling me cracker. There, you know.
There's got to be a market for this somewhere. Someone wants to wear a shoe where the heels look like syringes.
Well,
I'm sure
there was a famous football player.
Yeah, this is marketing genius.
Syringe heels. There was a famous football player for the Steelers, a guy called Frenchie Fuqua, who had goldfish in his heels. He had these glass heels, and there was a goldfish in each of the glass heels, like a living goldfish.
Oh, like
a living goldfish?
Yes, yes.
The 40-year-old virgin.
Yes, that was taken from Frenchie Fuqua. Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
What, Dakota Fanning's rape scene?
What? No, that's the...
I thought you
said
the 4-year-old...
raping Dakota Fanning.
That's hilarious. That's great.
All right.
I'm sorry. You
we're
said
all
the
sorry.
4-year-old version,
we're very sorry.
Right?
You said
4, right?
We should
not
be...
40. I just said
we
that.
Should not
we
be
should
here.
We should be on a comic strip. It's true.
Exactly.
I know.
Oh, man.
We should just allow ourselves to be writers for Get Your War On. And not do the MEP report.
Right.
That's fine.
That would certainly work.
Anyway.
It's only a few minutes away. Can you believe it?
I know.
Yay.
But yeah, so that's okay. So anyway, you felt lightheaded. I have to ask, did it even occur to you to go to the doctor? Did that occur to you? Did that come up?
No, I mean, I was walking towards our free health clinic, so I guess I could have seen
someone.
No,
you didn't go into someone.
It really occurred to me. But,
right.
But I didn't go. I mean, it was just sort of, I saw it very much as a study in, you know, psychosomatic reality, because it was very much like, you know, I wonder what that was. Oh, I'm feeling lightheaded. Oh, this is weird. You know, whatever. Like, I was sort of studying myself as I was getting more and more freaked out about it. But I was
watch a story bets his life on psychosomatic reality or actual reality.
Well,
find out at 11 when story will be in a box or not.
.com.
.com.
Am I box or not?
Right.
.com. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, I was just, it was just sort of an interesting... And, I mean, clearly if I had, like, felt really bad, like if I had started sweating and breaking out in boils or something, I mean, there is a limit to how much I can ignore the medical profession. But it wasn't. It was just one of those very, like, at the back of your mind, sort of bending your intuition of, like, I feel kind of lightheaded, I feel a little strange, things are looking a little disoriented. I mean, I'm also very used to disoriented vision and things like that because of migraines, so it could always be a migraine, and it's just like,
I don't know. You're actually injecting crack cocaine. But it didn't differ greatly from the amount of coffee that you drink during the day, so it didn't really grab your attention.
Exactly. There you go.
Exactly.
You feel like
I
this all
like,
the time.
All right.
Very nice.
All right.
Very nice.
Never mind. Everything's
five
fine.
Five cups at once? How'd that happen? That's weird. Is there coffee in this ranch? I guess that's possible. Unlikely. Okay. Yeah. So, you know.
Very nice.
That was my day. Took it out, moved on. I was fine. And then I started thinking, I was like, maybe drugs just don't affect me. I've never tried a drug. Maybe a drug wouldn't affect me. And then I quickly disavowed myself of that thought because I remembered the one time that I did have a drug, which was Vicodin, when I thought I was having a heart attack. When I was being paranoid, when I shouldn't have been, when I actually went to see the doctor for my heart attack that was never actually taking place. And in that situation, they gave me Vicodin for no reason. They said I had a severe muscle sprain above my heart.
I remember
that. They gave me Vicodin. And Vicodin, ladies and gentlemen, was the worst experience of my entire life, bar none. The worst visceral, like, physical experience. I've had worse emotional experiences, but physically, it was the worst thing I have ever been through in my entire life.
So what happened to you?
I completely lost control of my state of being. My state in the world.
Yeah, but what was the bad part?
Possessed. My state in the world was possessed by a drug that made me, I started within like 3 to 5 minutes of ingesting it, laughing uncontrollably, and I had never been less amused in my life. I had just spent $1,000 uninsured walking into a clinic for a muscle pull. I had never been less happy in my entire life. And I started laughing exactly, much like that, crazily, maniacally, and between my spasms of laughter, all I could get out to express to Emily was, nothing is funny. That was the phrase I kept trying to say. And it kept being interrupted by my spasms of laughter that were just cascading. Sincerely, exactly. Of like, nothing is funny. I don't want to... I don't want to laugh. And I did this for about half an hour. It was torturous. And then I just started shaking. And then, like, I was doing this the whole way down out of the hospital. They gave me the bill. That's amazing. Could barely walk. Had to be supported. Walking out of the hospital. All of these horrified people in the emergency room. God, what was wrong with him? Little did they know it was all done to me in there. You know?
But wait a minute.
You know? Like,
did they explain, like, since when does Vicodin side effect, it makes you laugh uncontrollably? What the hell
is
that?
Okay. So, no control. Moving on. And then I just start shaking in the car. Like, shaking like I have hypothermia. And it, like, rattled the car when the car was stopped. I was shaking so hard and so uncontrollably. And then I just curled up in the fetal position. Couldn't fall asleep because I was too, like, strangely wired. Shaking. Sweating.
Story. I have a question. Did your chest feel better?
It may have. It probably
you
did.
You certainly forgot about it,
no,
didn't you?
I didn't forget about it at all. I didn't notice anymore.
You never said that
I
once.
I did not notice at all. Exactly.
Oh, my God. That is too funny. That it wasn't funny.
So if there was ever any, like, quavering or wondering about, maybe I should get involved in this whole drug
But did
thing.
Anyone explain
no.
this to you,
and
Story?
All I've
like,
ever
seriously,
heard...
people do not generally uncontrollably laugh, or Vicodin would not exist as a drug. Like, clearly not everyone has this happen.
There's two parts of this, right? Like, I have always had severe overreactions to medication, which is part of the reason, like, part of the logical reason that I'm completely spooked by doctors and am very reticent to use them because, like, you know, when I was one and a half, the DPT shot put me into a coma for 24 hours and I almost died. And, like, that severity level of reaction I've had to everything ever since. Any sort of medication, any sort of shot, I have, like, the worst possible side effects recorded in history plus 10. So
I'm frankly
really
stunned, Story,
that
you
that
react
thing
to
happen.
Things physically, time, everything times 10. That's not a... I'm not shocked,
It doesn't comport with my emotional reality or my lifetime body weight.
Right.
Neither of these things could have been predicted.
Right, no, not at all.
It's a strange anomaly. But on top of that, you know, everyone who's ever described Vicodin to me has talked about it like crack cocaine or opium, really. Like, I imagine people talked about opium when it was popular, which is just that it's this euphoric, wonderful experience, and they would, like, kill their doctor to get another dose of Vicodin. And so it doesn't really surprise me that that type of experience for other people who are disillusioned and constantly want to avoid reality is, you know, blissful.
It's hilarious,
me,
though, because what it did was...
everything and be constantly aware and never sleep. It's, like, my worst nightmare.
It's hilarious. What it did was, it gave Story the effect... Mm-hmm. of what other people genuinely feel. So, like, everyone's like, this is great, we're going to laugh. And the Viking's like, I will make you laugh. And Stern's like, no, you will laugh. Now you feel what others feel.
I don't
like
laughing at all.
Oh, no.
Nothing is funny. Why am I laughing?
Exactly.
This doesn't make sense.
Oh, my God.
This is unpleasant.
Oh, man.
No, I mean...
Story, you should hire yourself out as a professional outlier.
Yeah.
You should be like, you know that dot point that's not anywhere else than the graph? Can you put, I'm me, that's me.
Right.
Can you use me? They're like, where's the story outlier? Let's give him some, okay, good, now we know.
Standard deviation. I will blow the curve
exactly,
for everyone.
Exactly,
what I did all the
that's
time
what
anyway.
Right.
Do you react negatively to prescription drugs? Do you believe that you're an ethereal being floating through life and have no connection to physical reality? Do you believe that violence in all forms is completely evil? Then you might have Claytonitis. Please don't see a doctor. Don't ever, ever, ever see a doctor ever.
Ever,
again.
Ever. Don't ever do it.
Which you're already
right.
Not doing.
Right. There you go.
Because you have it and stuff.
This
yeah.
advertisement
so
is brought to you by hoaxes after 9/11.
Oh my God!
No!
It's
a hoax! Ah! That was so in poor taste. So in poor taste. Yeah.
Dude, in this post-Aqua Teen Hunger hoax world, you really feel like you can go and make that joke, Russ. Come on. The world is different since that traffic
the terrible
accident
events
in Boston
of January 31st.
From the backup.
Ever
seriously.
Since January 31st.
We shall never again
we have, lived
have
there
humor
are no
in our advertising.
No humor again.
We're going to cancel the Super Bowl because all the advertising is going to pull out from it. Sorry that I came back
that's
to that,
right.
but it's really horrible.
I know.
Okay. So,
I find this reaction both humorous and delightful. I'm doing this as hard as I can.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
It's true. Yeah, well, clearly they've got material for the next 13 shows now because they can just make fun of everybody going crazy over
Can you imagine, like,
what
Turner?
A gold mine
Turner is like, you know, that was really inappropriate. Inside the boardroom, they're like, yeah, woohoo! They're like jumping around the room. You got to believe that they're basically, they've already called the guy who put him up. They called interference and they're like, yeah, we're going to pretend to fire you. Here's your $1 million bonus check. Well done. Good job.
Yeah,
like,
pretty much.
They're not going to fire these people. Come on.
Like a charm.
You know?
Even they, though, I don't think even they could have anticipated this kind of gross, ridiculous overreaction.
Oh, no.
I don't think they could have, like, they might have thought one person would get a little freaked out or, like, people would be initially scared. But this, like, oh, my God. Advertising, it's the apocalypse. Probably not in.
I mean, it's just
if I were writing for Aqua Teen Hunger Force, the next episode would be Carl opening up a box of spaghetti and seeing that one of the spaghetti hardened strands are like half as long as it's supposed to be. He's like, oh my God, guys, look at this. Look at this. The spaghetti's half as long. Oh God, it's an omen, right? I'm going to die, right? It's not good.
Yeah.
Yep.
And just everyone overreacts to everything. They're like, oh my
and
God,
everyone
Carl,
just going crazy.
You have hairy arms. I'm freaking out.
Although, you know what's interesting?
Oh my God, my computer has a virus.
What's interesting is it says in the article, too.
I'm freaking out.
Exactly.
Oh no, the billboard.
Yeah.
You know what it said was, there were no reports from police Wednesday of residents in the other 9 cities spotting similar devices. So basically residents everywhere else were like, eh. Like, I mean, why?
It's an ad.
They're like,
Yeah, what does it say about Boston?
I don't know.
Seriously.
I don't know what it says, man.
What does this indicate about our former college town?
It indicates that there's some Ivy League educated douche who's never seen the cartoon who wants to be more important than he really
is.
Exactly. And called this into the police.
It's not even a Boston
for
thing.
No reason.
Yep.
Because, like, I mean, the truth is, they in this article, there's one human being, like one normal non-cop, who's interviewed, and she says, yeah, I saw the bomb squad guys carrying a paper bag with their bare hands on the news. I knew it couldn't be too serious. That is the one comment made by anyone who's not official. So all the officials are like, this is a disaster. In a world post 9/11, this is a disgusting display. And everyone else is like, Like, I mean, what the hell is the big deal? What a joke.
Well, I mean,
our society sometimes, man.
This could be
the
largest display of stupidity by the homeland of security, you know, since its inception.
The homeland of security.
They're certainly not going to cover for it by making the top story go, homeland security department goes, oops.
I mean...
That can't be the top story.
Exactly. And I love how they're
so
like...
clearly got to be some kind of blame to lay here.
And I love how they say, this is an incredible waste of resources. I'm like, yes, which explains why you shouldn't be going after something that looks like Light Bright and Aqua Teen Hunger Force powered by 4C batteries. That might be a way to avoid spending so much money on it. You know what I mean?
Isn't that the job description of homeland security? To waste large sums of money.
Apparently,
for no reason.
I guess so.
Isn't that what they do?
I mean, it's ridiculous. A tremendous burden.
They probably just had a surplus. It's the end of the year. Last month, they realized they had a huge surplus of funds they didn't use. They're like, all right, let's close down the bridges for fun. And we'll make AT&T a scapegoat.
I see.
Why not?
Unbelievable.
They don't want their funding to be cut. They got to spend that money, man.
That's true. Well, you know, Story said on his blog,
a cartoon character.
Story said on Introspection today that fearful people feeling threatened is the biggest problem in the world, and I totally agree. And I think Michael Moore has picked up on this in his films, and I think pretty much that sums it up. People being afraid of everything on the free earth pretty much summarizes all of what is most wrong with the world has to do with fear and people being afraid of things or being made to feel afraid of things. So, I totally agree.
Yep. I mean, we've already covered this, right? We talked about the society of Klingons and how they would be completely invulnerable to terrorism because there's just, you're going to kill some Klingons? Okay. They're not going to be afraid. They're not going to change their way of life.
Yep, that's right.
They're not going to respond in any way that you'd want them to.
That's right.
So,
but see, my argument here, though, is that this is not the people being afraid. This is Homeland Security desperately trying to make people think that there was a reason to be angry at someone for making them afraid, and most people didn't buy into it. Like, most people were like, what? Like that was basically the reaction.
And we'll see where this news story goes over, you know, by the time you're listening to this, you'll probably know which way this went, whether you're all like, huh? What are you talking about? That thing that was removed after 1 hour and like 5 people in Boston heard about? Or they'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe they don't think this is a big deal.
So the real question...
We all have our anti-Aqua Teen Hunger Force hats on now.
Well, that's it. So that's question for our listeners.
It'll be one or the other.
A question for our listeners is, what can you guys out there come up with that could make it seem like a MEP report hoax? Now, we don't want anything that's going to get anyone in jail, okay? But if you can think in some way some MEP report thing that's not going to get you in jail... Which basically is not much, apparently.
I told you what we should do.
I mean, a light bright emu. Like a light bright emu, you know?
We kidnap him. We'll brainwash him to say mep, 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 mep. We'll put him in an emu suit, and we'll let them find him, 6 weeks later, when the brainwashing has taken effect. And bam!
And then you got
it. Baby.
Speaking of which...
It's got to be a really cute, rich kid. Because those are the only ones
that'll definitely work.
Exactly. A white
publicity.
Kid.
If they're
probably
kidnapped.
A white teenage girl would probably work the best.
Hey,
an heiress.
We'll do what we
can. Heiress.
Do you know, speaking of that, though, do you remember...
We'll kidnap Paris Hilton and make her go mep, mep, mep.
She would...
And then,
but everyone would be like, that's just her normal speech pattern. She'd be like...
People would be so bummed out when they found her. They'd be like, she's back?
Well, that's
God
it.
Damn it.
And she wouldn't be able to do anything different.
Gone.
She'd be like, mep, mep.
It's a hoax.
She'd be like,
we thought she was dead.
Exactly.
Why are you hoaxing us?
She'd be doing the mep thing, and she'd just be like, mep, mep, mep. That's hot. Mep, mep, mep. That's hot. That's all she'd do. That's mep.
She's an idiot.
You know, on one sad note, I should say.
Maybe like she's expanded her vocabulary to a syllable.
To an extra syllable. You guys remember that emu I told you about that ran away from a farm? My mom had cut out an article for us that this emu had run away. Sadly, that emu has passed away of a heart attack, and I wanted to report that was sad. The emu had died.
That is sad.
It basically...
Oh, my God.
Did they give advice?
You know what else?
Yeah.
Do you know what else nobody cares about? Barbaro is also dead.
I know.
Nobody cares.
Hey, I felt a little bit bad for Barbaro.
Oh.
But
I felt bad for Barbaro.
People are trying to make you care.
Barbaro died.
People
Thank
are trying so hard
Lord
to make you care.
That Barbaro is dead, because that means there will be no more stupid Barbaro stories as the front page of my sports section when I'm at work trying to just, Barbaro's left leg is hurting, but itching, but feeling better. Stupid horse. Who cares?
Come on,
there
man.
There are millions of people dying for all kinds of reasons all over the world. Why is this the top story in any journalistic publication ever?
It shouldn't be
Why
a top story,
care?
But...
And it was, oh, God. It was on ESPN for like 2 hours the other day. And they were like, well, he was okay, but his... And it made no sense. They were just like, his leg was giving him more discomfort.
Story,
but
do you know why Russ
okay,
is really upset?
Discomfort.
Story, do you know why Russ
so
is really upset?
They euthanized him.
Because the only
why
the last time there was a big sports story about an athlete who had hurt his leg, it was about Allen Houston from the Knicks. And Russ is still bitter. Stop reminding me of broken legs. I hate it. No more.
He's like, they didn't euthanize Allen Houston.
Exactly.
No
and
one.
That would have made more sense to euthanize Allen Houston. That would have saved him a lot more money in the long run.
Even the story made no sense. Because the lady was like, he wasn't so comfortable, so they euthanized him. Is this really how people react to horses? Like, they love horses. We all care. We have to listen to how the horse is doing in the newspaper. But then the horse is slightly uncomfortable, and we're like, well, we can't have this horse living in a slight state of discomfort.
Well, I don't think slight was the point. I think they were afraid that it was going to be more uncomfortable than that.
Okay, We hold chickens in pens that are not physically as wide as their bodies, but you can't put a horse in a permanent state of rest and keep it alive and keep feeding it. Really? Really?
Well, not if you want to put it out to stud.
Hook up the tubes to Barbaro.
That's the key.
Hook up the tubes. Oh, so, whatever. Freeze his sperm. I'm sure they did that anyway.
Freeze his sperm.
Yeah, I guarantee. There was somebody jacking off that horse for like a week to get all of the future horse racers.
Oh, my God. It was probably the Moon and Knights.
Wow.
Jacking off Barbaro. And freezing his sperm on the moon as a hoax.
Get your sperm.
And the future terrorist horses... We'll take over
I couldn't think of a better way to segue. I couldn't think of a better way to segue into our interview with the guy.
I guarantee the segment to come will be more fun than that individual's job.
So
last week,
coming up is our interview.
Please enjoy this far more than jacking off a racehorse. Yes, sir.
Coming up is our interview with David Reese, which yes, from Get Your War On. We hope you guys will like it.
I'm afraid.
A new technology we have here in New York, it's called a telephone, and it offers a cost-effective and extremely efficient way of communicating orally.
Well.
Interesting.
That's that satire that I love.
That's a great idea.
I love it. Awesome.
Yeah.
Don't even need electricity.
Yeah, the thing about the phone
that's
thing...
That's crazy talk.
Yeah, we're working on getting the technology to be able to record the phone conversations, which I recognize should be easier for us, but is not yet. To that end,
I can recommend a technology called cassette recorder.
Well, I will see what I can do about getting the cassette recording thing working also. So we'll see about doing that in the future. Anyway, I'm sorry about the obnoxious TeamSpeak stuff, but you are listening to the MEP Report. You're listening to us. Russ, Greg, and Story are all here. And we are also very happy to have with us a special guest, David from the Get Your War On comic. We've been promoing this guy for a few weeks now as being one of the funniest comic writers on the internet. And we have brought him on today. So welcome, David. Welcome in.
Thank you for having me.
So I guess, Russ, you were the guy who first had, you know, was telling us all about him, and then we went over and checked it out. So you probably want to lead off with this a little bit, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd heard about this through, like, the APTA, the debate message boards and stuff, and basically just stumbled on David's comic strip, which was just an absolutely hilarious satire of various things, including, most prominently, the war in Iraq. And, I don't know, we just want to... You know, talk to you a little bit. We appreciate the satire. What I'm wondering is this what, and I guess I just got a little taste of this before, is this what you're like in real life? Like, do you respond to people in a store this way? You know, the way that your characters do in the comic strip? Or is this just sort of an outlet that you don't express otherwise?
I am an asshole in real life, and I am also an asshole in my cartoonist persona.
I see. So
truth in advertising.
It's a direct connection. You know, one thing I wanted to ask actually was how did you, because I'm also a theater critic is one of the side things that I do, and I wondered about how the adaptation, because your Get Your War On actually showed up as an off-Broadway show, and I wanted to ask about that, like how did that all get started? Was that, did Rudmesh contact you, or like how did that all work when they actually ended up with the off-Broadway show?
A theater company in Austin, Texas called the Rudmesh approached me about adapting Get Your War On for the stage. And I agreed to let them do it because, unlike a lot of other offers I had had in the past, they seemed to understand some of the emotions that were driving the comic, things like anxiety and confusion and anger, and they weren't caught up in how many bad words there were in the comic, which I think some people thought the comic was really edgy and cool because it had a lot of profanity in it, but they didn't seem eager to explore some of the emotional issues underneath all that.
So they would have been happier if you had just
swore.
Spammed the word fuck a lot.
Right, over and over
that
again.
That would have been artsy enough, but
that's
not actually critiquing the war.
The fuck-only comic strip on the show.
Right,
that's
exactly.
Oh, I can't wait. That's exciting.
Yeah, so they seemed like they would do a good job with it, so I gave them permission. And they seem to have done a good job with it.
Have they showed cool. you? Did they send like a video to you, or like have you gotten to see the show? Like, or have you just read reviews of it? Like,
I've seen it twice. Once in D.C. when they brought me in to do a panel discussion afterwards, and then again a couple weeks ago here in New York City.
Okay, cool.
Can I ask, how long have you been comic stripping, and was Get Your War On your first one, or were some of the other peripheral ones that are on your website, did they lead you into this?
I started making comics, I guess, in fifth or sixth grade, and then I drew cartoons for my college newspaper, and then after college, when I was temping, I started making comics using clip art. So Get Your War On came out of that mode of expression, the clip art and the profanity and the really boring graphics. I was already making those other two series on my website. My New Fighting Technique is Unstoppable, and My New Filing Technique is Unstoppable. So when the war on terrorism started, it seemed like an appropriate way for me to express my feelings about it.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Do you like to throw file folders in your normal life? I remember stumbling on My Filing Technique is Unstoppable, some kind of flash game where you just throw file folders across the room. I was wondering if this was out of a personal experience where you fling file folders everywhere.
That was a video game that my publisher developed to promote the My New Filing Technique is Unstoppable book. And I have had experience with files in a professional capacity.
So it all.
You have filed before.
Right.
I filed before, but I've never thrown file folders because I'm very professional.
Oh, okay.
Right. You sound nice and restrained.
I see.
I believe it. Do you feel like your message is getting through? Do you feel like you're really communicating with people, or do you feel like you get misinterpreted a lot of the time?
To prove my earlier statement about being an asshole, I will only remark upon the irony of that question in the context of this newfangled computer static-only communication system. At this moment, I do not feel like my message is getting through.
I see.
But if we're not talking about the technology of the moment, but rather the broader social context of my cartoons, I don't know if my message is getting through. I mean, I think I'm probably just preaching to the choir. That's fine. I don't know if... I've had exactly one instance of somebody emailing me to say that I've changed their mind about the war on terrorism.
Along those lines, do you ever get complaints other than the language? I mean, to see things like a bloated Katrina victim saying, boy, isn't our government great? Do you ever get complaints about some of the actual content in the cartoon?
Not much anymore. In the fall of 2001 when I started it, I think it was kind of controversial, and I was talking about Afghans, and I was kind of skeptical on the war on terrorism, I guess, before. I think I was skeptical of Bush maybe a little earlier than other people in the country, and so that led to some negative feedback. And I guess every so often somebody will tell me they think a cartoon is in poor taste, but it doesn't happen as much as I expected it.
Or as much as you might want, probably.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there are cartoonists out there who do court controversy, and that's never really been my personality, you know? I mean, the cartoon has a lot of profanity in it and kind of has a dark sensibility, but it's not my goal to really stick my thumb in people's eyes. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
I don't have the secret dream of going on Fox News and getting screamed at, so I've never tried to manage my career that way.
That's a shame, because for a lot of it seems college professors, of which I'm one, their goal seems to be to get, you know, knocked down to size as they see it by Bill O'Reilly. So I don't know why you wouldn't want to reach for that as the ultimate goal, you know, because apparently that's the way you know you've succeeded, when Bill O'Reilly can yell at you on national television.
The Ward Churchill model of pedagogy.
Amen. Amen to that. You know, I was going to actually say, ask about that too. I mean, when I'm reading through a lot of this stuff, and I totally agree with Russ that there's a lot of stuff that's brilliant here, and I wonder about, in the aspect of profanity, I mean, you said before that a lot of this is sort of expressing your anxiety about the war and your how ridiculous this whole business is and, you know, all of that. And I guess I wondered, I know you said you didn't want to put your thumb in anyone's eye and that sort of thing, but would you view it as something where, I mean, if you were given a choice, would you rather preach to the choir? I mean, is this the kind of thing where the message in some ways should be so clear at this point that it's amazing, you know, that anyone who comes and doesn't get it and would send you a negative email just is not ever going to be reachable? If you understand what I'm saying, like, would you rather be in a position where you're preaching to the people who agree with you and motivating them, or would you rather be able to get across the aisle to the people who for some reason don't get it yet?
I try not to think about the comic in either of those two ways.
Okay.
I try not to spend too much time wondering how it's going to be interpreted, and try to keep it still just a personal expression of my own feelings and beliefs.
Okay.
I guess all things being equal, I think the complaint of, oh, you're just preaching to the choir, and I'm not saying just as it is applied to me, but as it's applied to any political public persona, you know, is, I feel like that's not the damning criticism that some people take it to be. Mm-hmm. I think choirs like having people preach at them. It's reassuring and comforting.
Yeah.
And it can, you know,
they can rock back
their
and forth
a little.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. I think if my goal all along had been to convince people that Bush wasn't a good president, I don't think I would have used such kind of divisive and angry language, because I think that can be alienating.
Right.
So what was your goal? Just to get your voice out there?
My initial goal in October 2001 was just to make the kind of comic strip that I wish was in the daily newspaper.
Gotcha. And then it's evolved over time?
I don't know if it's evolved. It has continued over time. I can't discern any process
Fair
of
enough.
Evolution.
Okay.
Well, has it? Here's another
way
to.
Do you have any sense of?
Go ahead,
sorry, Greg.
No, no.
Do you
go
have
ahead.
Any sense of what you were in for? Did you anticipate the endless war and the obvious coming one into Iran that would allow you to do this comic for the next 30 years?
No, I never considered it a career move. It was just something I did for really personal reasons originally. And then when it got a lot of attention on the internet all over the world, and then when the first book came out, and then when I went on my first book tour, and then when Rolling Stone picked it up, and then when they made a play out of it, each kind of additional chapter has been kind of surprising and humbling. But I never expected it to last this long.
Can I ask in relation to that, has it been cathartic for you? I mean, obviously it's an expression of your own anger about it, as you've said. Has it made you feel better to a degree about getting it out there? Or is it the kind of thing where, as you're writing it, I mean, I can imagine you, you know, writing this and going, I can see you getting even more annoyed with what you're writing about as you're writing it. And I wonder if this has made you feel better about things to a degree, or has been a release in some way, or if it's sort of focused your annoyance at what's going on too.
I think the first strips I made in October 2001 were extremely cathartic and powerful for me, at just for myself. Probably more so than any other type of art I've ever made. And I think it was that way for other people too back then. Now that it's kind of a job and we've kind of settled into this long slog in Afghanistan and Iraq, it's more... I still can have cathartic moments, but now I feel like the pleasures are kind of more clinical. They're more about the craft of pulling off a successful cartoon. But yeah, sometimes it still does emotionally help me to make a comic about some horrible thing that's happened.
Yeah.
The only other thing about the comic that's been important to me as some type of cathartic thing or to help me feel less helpless was giving away all the author royalties from the books to these D-miners in Afghanistan, because that helped me feel less powerless about my role in the war on terrorism. So for
yeah.
me,
yeah, I was gonna
that's been
ask you, that doesn't sound like an asshole move there.
Yeah, that you're kind of undercutting the asshole
say.
Image, I gotta be honest there.
Well, they have to pay the money back with 400% interest.
Oh, okay.
Right. Oh, okay.
Right.
Predatory lending always saves the day.
In opium, okay. No doubt. In poppy seeds, probably.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see. Bring
right,
up.
They're gonna pay me in opium.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, I figure the rate of return, that's some serious rate of return that you got on that. So it's a good long-term investment, sadly. Russ, you were going to say something
David,
before?
David, before you go, did you want to talk about any of your other projects or anything that you are currently developing or promoting?
I am developing nothing and I am promoting nothing. I am inching towards my end state of total entropy, which has been my destiny since birth.
Oh, outstanding. Well, that's good.
That's why I like the comic strip so
a
much.
A good dose.
An entropy
dose
strip.
Of optimism for you.
I know, seriously. Entropy eventually happens. Well, Story, you got anything else?
No, I'm good. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show.
Yeah, thanks very much, David. We apologize for the technical problems, but we really do, as comedy people who are pretty, we're ridiculously left ourselves. We really, obviously agree with what you're writing about, and it's really funny stuff, and we encourage people to go over there, and we'll promote it again as well. So thanks, David Rees, for coming on.
David.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thanks for your interest.
All right, so there you go. That was the interview. And
you think he'll come back? you think we'll get him back?
He's all up in our interview grill.
He already emailed me.
Did he really?
He's like, I don't think I came off as well as I possibly could. I'd like to try again next week. And I was like, dude, I'm sick of you and your emails.
Exactly.
Like, no, really.
That's what happened,
enough.
Right? Oh man. So we're sorry that we don't, own more comprehensive communication information.
That's true. So we'll come to you via satellite to your brain next week.
Right.
Because we've just bought that technology and we've drained all your bank accounts to do so. So thank you for being a MEP listener, subscriber, and contributor of all.
Come check us out. Call our number.
Meantime,
do all that
I've
stuff.
I've actually coincidentally invented a static-based form of communication.
Nice.
It's another language. So it basically is...
Ooh.
That was me.
Is that what it sounds
David
like?
For his...
When the signs blink?
Interview.
When the light bright signs blink?
Well, if you don't speak it,
then the light bright signs blink, we can make it a hoax.
I wonder if emus can communicate in this. Maybe we can finally bridge the human-emu technology gap and communicate with emus.
Was designed
next
for.
Week,
but
an
we'll
emu
let the
in
do the
live static will find a translator.
That's
we'll
awesome.
See you then.
Thanks for listening, guys. Say goodbye, everybody. See you next week.
Have a good one.
Russ, you can't say that live.
That show was a
you
hoax.
Can't say that.
Yes, This reception is making me very angry. I'm giving you the finger as hard as I can. Yes, sir.
Oh, no, the podcast!
The proceeding was a presentation of the MEP Report, hosted at www.mepreport.com. All rights reserved. In no way should any part of this show be construed as an invitation to buy, sell, or trade flightless birds, or reassemble Voltron, or at least not the stupid one in the cars. Please support the MEP Report by voting for the show at www.vitalpodcast.com, adding the show to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com, and clicking on the Vote for MEP link on the MEP Report homepage to vote for us at podcastally.com. Email us at Greg, Russ, Story, or Andy at MEPReport.com, and call us and leave a voicemail or a fax at 206-600-MEP-1. That's 206-600-6371. And finally, please join the fight to stop the senseless farming of emu glands. It's immoral, it's unethical, and frankly, it's just a little bit gross.
Tomorrow's just another day.